24 minutes to 11 o'clock. The City News Sunday Race continuing now with another aspect of Christmas. And a little bit of the good, a little bit of the tough as well, because Christmas Ian, the editor of the City News, Ian Meikle, of course, here with us and publisher of the same. Christmas can be a wonderful time of year, but can also be a very challenging time of year.
Well, for a lot of people it can be. I'm always rather curious why we make Christmas so hard on ourselves when we're supposed to be enjoying it. Dr. Kerry Howard...
No doctor. No.
Well, you'll always be a doctor to me. Kerry Howard, undoctored, the principal psychologist for Mindfully Well, is with us this morning. Kerry, why do people make Christmas so hard on themselves?
It's really about the society expectation that we have around Christmas. Because, let's face it, you know, Christmas is a culturally imposed thing that we do. And we have expectations that we're supposed to connect with family and friends. And, you know, on Christmas Day, we're supposed to all get together and eat way too much and play backyard cricket and fall asleep in the afternoon. And that vision that we have around it is usually where the problem comes from, because if we don't feel that we have that type of Christmas, then it feels like we've somehow failed or we've got it wrong.
Oh, okay. Now, you used a phrase there, culturally imposed.
Yes.
I would have thought Christmas is a part of our community. It's not imposed. I mean, it's there every year. It's a part of the Christian calendar. It's never been any different. What do you mean by culturally imposed?
Well, I mean, different countries celebrate Christmas in different ways, and there's even, you know, some religious components that don't actually celebrate Christmas. So it's the idea that says that the culture expectation is you'll take time off, we close all the shops because we expect everybody to get together. So that's what I mean about...
So we're imposing relatives on each other.
Yes.
Who've gone all year without hardly seeing them.
And that happens.
And because we're quote-unquote family...
Yes.
That means that it'll be okay.
Well, it's supposed to be. And that's actually where the problem comes in. A lot of people say, oh, I hate Christmas. Well, they hate Christmas because they're expectation of what's been, you know, given to us in the media about what Christmas is supposed to look like just isn't happening for them, so therefore they think they failed Christmas. And so a lot of people will say, oh, I hate Christmas because I can't have Christmas, the Christmas that is expected that I'm supposed to have if I'm a normal human being.
Right. Yeah. Well, so therefore, in this pursuit of perfection,
yes,
we take on increasing levels of complexity.
Absolutely.
That make the celebration so horrendously complex and compressed.
Yep.
It can be just a complete, a volcano, emotional volcano.
Yeah, because if you don't actually line all your ducks up correctly and make it look like it does on the TV
or
in all of those movies that we watch or, you know, all of that stuff, or financially we don't have the money to do what we think is expected of us in terms of gift giving or, you know, the amount of food on the table and all of that sort of stuff, lots of people then feel that they've failed at Christmas. And, you know, I mean, Easter's another one that we do a similar thing, and we have this, it's a time where the society says get together, and if you don't have people to get together with or you've disconnected with them for some other reason during the year, it becomes a massive problem because we disconnect, you know, for a whole range of reasons, a family especially.
Well, because a collection of family members could be catastrophic, but so could be buying yourself.
Yes.
Being on your Pat Malone, mate.
Yes. And if you are on your own, that's actually a big problem because it is this expectation that says you're not supposed to be alone on that day. And the other problem is that if we've had a falling out with family or friends or anybody during the year, what tends to happen is if you're in a slightly depressed state, you will withdraw from everybody anyway because you feel that you're a sad sack and difficult to be around. So, the problem is that emotionally, as human beings, our primary need is for connection. We need to actually be connected to other human beings. We're pack animals.
Well, why do we have one-bedroom units? Why are we sending people into towers to
because
live
we
by
think,
themselves?
We think socially we can manage that way, and it's much nicer to live on your own where you don't have to clean up other people's mess. And then, you know, you can just get on Facebook and feel like you're connected.
It's a real recent societal thing too, and I'm sure you're seeing this in your own practice, Kerry.
Absolutely.
Because going back to, I'll say that phrase again, Ian, I'm sorry, when I was a kid, nonetheless, is the fact that the well, I was born in 1959, so it was pre-pill. Families were bigger.
Yep.
It was the baby boom. It was the era. There was much more positivism.
Yep.
There was a lot of stuff hidden that we are now hearing a lot about.
Yes.
But nonetheless, there was, it would seem, a greater veneer. There was also greater community groups together, groups like, well, we just had the gentleman from Vinnie's in, charity groups, community groups, Rotary, Rotary, the Lions Club, all that sort of stuff. They were bigger than they are now. But a lot of that's faded away. There's a lot more solo living. There's a lot more people living longer and living alone because their social network has literally died off. All of this stuff coming together. And on top of that, and I often think, and I was, when you were both talking there, I was thinking of Anzac Day. It's about the only time, and I'm not saying this out of any disrespect, but it's one of the few times where we get together as a mob, and it's one of the few times, in a sense, we go to church. Because they, the other thing that, that's broken up in the last 50 years is church observance, and a lot of those social networks have broken up as well.
So what you're talking about is community connection.
And yeah.
Yes, you're right, absolutely. If we look at the statistics, women over 40 years old are the most likely to live alone and be depressed. And you're right, they live longer. And that is a massive problem. And so one of the things, actually, I've got a friend who is gone into a different type of building arrangement where they have almost like a boarding house where everybody has their separate kind of apartments, but they have communal living areas. Now, you can live then alone as such, but you can actually come together and share in a communal space. And that's a very good way to manage, like, a living situation, because living alone is often a big part of the reason why people feel quite depressed and disconnected.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned women over 40 are most likely to be living alone.
Yes.
Well, I understand about longevity and widows.
Yeah.
What are you, just hard to get along with?
No. I actually think that probably it's because if we stop and look at it statistically, a lot of women post-divorce will stay with children and then,
yep,
you know, not reconnect in other relationships,
yep,
or they're not comfortable enough about or trusting enough, especially if they ended up with a hard slog and kept the house and all of that sort of stuff. They don't want to go into another relationship and potentially expose themselves to you know, that loss. Possibly. Then we've got, you know, long-term career people.
Violence as well.
Yeah, yeah. And, it's also the largest number of homeless people are women over 40, because the converse situation to that is because sometimes they walk away when the kids have grown up and left home and they don't get anything and they don't have enough to manage and be able to, the cost of living in these, you know,
no super.
You know, they don't walk away with the large percentage of the property or whatever. You know, some people just do better out of lawsuits than others.
So we've got all these Eleanor Rigbys. Christmas then can be a time of enormous confrontation as well, emotionally.
Oh, absolutely, because, you know, they have to then, if we look at the homelessness situation, impose themselves on other people in terms of where they go for Christmas.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily feel like it's, you know, supposed to when you watch the movies, and that's where the big problem comes in.
It's terrible, isn't it? And yet, do you like Christmas?
I do. I love Christmas. So one of the things, you know, but I'm also a product, I think, of my upbringing, because I was the youngest of five kids in a sole parent family. So I've always done Christmas with bells on since I had my own children and done things, you know, for myself, because...
Well, you're falling into the perfect Christmas trap, aren't you?
Well, it's interesting because I don't have the same expectations around my kids having to be there and all of that sort of stuff. Stop and think about what happens when your children grow up. So I've got one in Melbourne now and one here. So this Christmas I'm not going to see both of them because, you know, my daughter's in Melbourne. I was in Melbourne last year, and I've decided to stay home this year because I haven't stayed home in 5 years. So it's kind of like, well, you know, and I'm just going to do it'll be a smaller Christmas, but I've got some friends coming over who are actually immigrants, so they don't have family here, so I invited them for Christmas. I've got, you know, a couple of other people in similar situations. And then we always, I'm part of a meetup group, and we always go to QT and have in the afternoon, because QT is one of the few hotels that's open on Christmas Day, and we always have waif Christmas drinks. So the waif Christmas drinks. So if, you know, if there's nobody else or you have no family here, like my girlfriend who started organising that a couple of years ago is an English immigrant. She's got no family here. So, and there are lots of people in that situation too who come here. Canberra is an amalgamation space for lots of people who come from all over.
And, so curiously, you're having Christmas dinner on your own terms. You're almost family free, and you've picked the people or invited the people you'd like to come to it.
Yeah.
There's no default setting, apart from perhaps your son, but there's no default setting where the family are expected to be there.
Yeah.
You're able to pick and choose. It'll be interesting what you think of that.
Well, it's also interesting. So my partner's, he's going to Melbourne next weekend because he's going to go and spend time with his family. We did his family together last year. We chose this year for me not to do that because, you know, there's a whole range of reasons. But it's a very expensive thing because you have to, you know, accommodation and all that sort of stuff. So I just decided, no, I was just going to have Christmas at home. You know, my daughter invite a few friends. We'll do lunch. I always like the morning with, you know, presents and breakfast and all of that sort of stuff. It's one of the 2 days of the year I always would allow the kids to eat chocolate before breakfast.
Only if you can too.
That's right.
But just before, I know you're aching over there to go to a break. But just one quick question on your kitchen table. The immigrants you're inviting, are they non-Christian immigrants or are they culturally like us?
No. So they're from Czech, and they've got cultural, you know, Christian perspectives or Christian views.
Right, so Christmas, they'll be comfortable with the notion of Christmas.
And can
they
I
just
say
might
some,
have a different
some,
way of looking at it, some, which is interesting.
True.
Some superb food options coming from Czechoslovakia as well, I would trust.
Absolutely, and actually the male of the couple is a chef, so I look forward to that.
You beauty.
There is a God. Play the ad.
It's 12 to 11. I'm hungry already. The City News Sunday Roast back with psychologist Kerry Howard in just a moment.
G'day, it's Chris Mack wishing you all the best for Christmas and for 2019. Take care.
Hello, it's Beth Rett from the Capital Radio Newsroom. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, but if the white runs out, I'll happily drink the red.
Hello, this is Steve Price. I'm off to have a white Christmas. I hope you have a very happy Christmas, no matter where you spend it, with your friends and family. All the best for the new year. I'll see you in 2019.
Wishing you a safe and happy Christmas from all of us at 1206.
2CC. Domain's big bedding brand sale on now. Save up to 55% off Sealy, Sleepmaker and King Coil mattresses and ensembles. Amazing deals on Tempur. Queen mattresses from only $1,988. Plus, choose your Tempur bonus. Standard base or two pillows and thermal protector pack. Plus, bonus local delivery on purchases over $999. Hurry, ends Monday at Domain. Don't miss up to 55% off mattresses and ensembles. Great bonus deals on Tempur. And bonus delivery. Domain's big bedding brand sale ends Monday. Conditions apply.
Happy birthday to the surgery at Jarrah. 10 years as a family-friendly general practice, where patients are people, not a number. The family-friendly general practice would like to thank everyone who's helped it to reach this great milestone. A decade of growth and change has made the surgery at Jarrah what it is today. New patients are always welcome, so come in and see what the surgery at Jarrah is all about. More for you. The surgery at Jarrah, at the little shops in Jarrahbombra. 10 years and still going strong.
The expert team at ACT Brakes will not only make sure you stop when you need to, they'll make sure you can change gear when you need to. In fact, if it's brakes, your clutch, or any mechanical repairs, the team at ACT Brakes are the team to see. ACT Brakes supply and fit brakes and clutches. They offer a free brake check, and all repairs come with a 12-month, 20,000K warranty. ACT Brakes, Mitchell, Belconnen and Phillip at actbrakes.com.au.
With the weather warming up, have you considered upgrading your windows and doors? Monaro Windows manufacture premium aluminium double glazed window and door solutions to make your home more energy efficient. Cooler in summer and warmer in winter, you'll be more comfortable year round. With energy prices continuing to rise, Monaro Windows can help you save on your energy bills. To see the largest range of Australian made energy efficient windows and doors, visit their showrooms at Stevens Road, Queanbeyan and Pelé Street, Mitchell. MoneroWindows.com.au.
Do you have a job that you think may be too small to call a handyman for? Small jobs do matter. Any job matters. We'll always turn up for any job, from replacing a light globe to repainting a room. Fully guaranteed and insured. Any job matters. Proud of their level of customer satisfaction and quality workmanship. No job too small. Give Harry a call. 1-300-4-ANY-JOB. That's 1-300-426-956. Or Google Any Job Matters.
Your opinions matter. Call 6255 1206 and join the conversation.
1206.
2CC.
Nine to 11 o'clock. This is the City News Sunday Roast, speaking with psychologist Kerry Howard about different aspects of Christmas. And we've covered, I think, the full gamut of the joy to sorrow spectrum and back again, Ian.
Almost.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk about the psychology of gifts, giving and buying, and, you know, people try too hard or don't try hard enough.
Yeah.
What's your reading on gifts?
Well, I think I alluded before to the fact that sometimes it's the expectation, and we have this idea that says, you know, well, we have to spend, you know, 100, 200, 500, whatever it is. And that completely takes away from what the idea about the gift giving was. So there's not really a whole lot of point if you just decide on Christmas Eve that you're just going to go to, you know, Woolworths or Big W and buy a bunch of gift cards and shove them in a, you know, in a Christmas card and hand them out. Because, well,
don't spoil it.
Well,
but
if you do, but if you do that, right, and you can do that, the people receiving it, that they're going to be any less grateful for it? No, but it doesn't show any kind of care or consideration or thought even. And actually the biggest thing about gift giving is that the receiver actually wants to think that the person who gave them the gift actually thought about what they would like, or what some of their interests, or,
well, some of the rubbish I've been given over the years, I got to say, nobody's given a moment's thought.
Socks and undies, socks and undies.
Not even that. Worse than that.
I still remember my daughter, you know, and she'll be listening, but and she'll probably cringe. But there was one year where, you know, she bought me a Casey Donovan CD,
hey,
but it was not really for me. She really liked Casey.
You really love these tickets to the big day out.
Well, that's it, you know. So, and sometimes it is, and it was really funny. I'm not buying it for him now. So I did think about buying my partner this gorgeous old radiogram. Like he loves his vinyl, he DJs, right? But and it was called a Fat Boy, but it's a beautiful piece of antique furniture. It's a 50s, you know. So and I ended up kind of going, oh, I really want it, but I really wanted the furniture. But I knew that it would be, you know, a dual purpose. But in reality, the sound equipment, not really probably that great. So it's very much about, you know, a piece of furniture. So then I went, oh, I won't get him that, actually, because that's not really about him. It's
about... what'd you get him?
I'm kidding. He'd be listening. I can't tell you.
Is it big, small? So the notion of thoughtfulness.
Yeah.
Now, as someone who has shopped shamefully on Christmas Eve, it's actually a really good time. It's high risk because there may not be anything there that you can get, but it's really quiet and you can kind of got quite a swathe through the shops very quickly. As someone who's done that, I mean, one could be accused there of being thoughtlessness, having a lot of thoughtlessness. Is it so bad? How do people... I'd feel guilty about the level of thoughtfulness I put into things now.
I think a big part...
You've completely screwed my Christmas.
Well, no, it's not meant to be like that. I think a big part of where the problem comes in now is actually about our time. We don't have a lot of time anymore. So, you know, but you know when somebody makes you a handmade gift, like you stop and think, somebody put time and effort into that. And it's actually their time and effort that's more of a meaningful thing to somebody in the receiving of the gift and the giving is about something that you've done for somebody else.
Not if they were hanging out for an iPhone.
No, no. Well, this is the issue. But if they're hanging out for an iPhone, who on earth would seriously think somebody's going to spend that sort of money on them at Christmas?
Well, wasn't he joking?
Kids do, but you know, it's. Yeah.
So then we go. Then we come to value. I mean, is it the more I love you, the more I spend? Is that a good argument?
No, I don't think that's a good argument at all. I think really it comes down to, you know, what can you afford? What's the sort of, you know, because if somebody comes along and they give you a $100 gift, but they're on $100,000 a year and you know, you're not working and you can only afford to give somebody a $20 gift, well, that $20 gift is probably of more value if you stop and think about it, because I had to sacrifice more if I'm not working to give you a $20 gift than, you know, you did in giving me a $100 one. It's not really about cost. It needs to be more about, you know, the circumstances. And so if I've got better means or circumstances to give, I can give more. But sometimes I think it's just about the meaning and the thoughtfulness that goes into it rather than the value.
So if somebody who earns $100,000 a year knits me a pair of socks,
yep.
What am I to think? They're miserable people?
No, actually, because to knit you a pair of socks would have taken them an awful lot of time away from their $100,000 job. So, actually, much more valuable.
Gifts made of love.
Absolutely.
Who knits socks
anymore?
It's
like Christmas lunch made with love.
Can I tell you the most magnificent gift I got? And ironically, it wasn't Christmas. It was my 50th birthday. And yes, that was a few
years ago.
Sadly, yes. My daughter's a wonderful crochet artist. She took a photo of me taken as a two-year-old, put behind it, given that I have this, strangely, have this thing about loving radio.
And
behind me, and I'll show you the photo after the way. Basically, a montage of, you know, radio station I listened to as a kid in Sydney and that sort of stuff. And it took me a long time to sort of compose myself, but that was one of the most beautiful gifts I've ever received.
Yeah. And
a crocheted version of your face.
And other things as well. Folks, we are out of time, but we better go.
What do you want for Christmas?
Oh, dear me.
Too late.
No idea.
No idea.
Whatever comes my way.
Great.
Something made from love.
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
There we are.
Thank you very much indeed, Kerry. And you're going to be back next year just very, very quickly talking about a new initiative that you've got some funding for to help people, particularly through the drought.
Yes.
So that Kerry will be back next year on The Roast to talk about that.
She will.
We've got more Christmas-themed issues on The Roast coming up after the news, which is next here at Talking Canberra 1206 2CC, where it's 2 to 11.